I had a question 2 weeks ago, quite an interesting question actually came in and over the emails, and it said that I read in lesson 10 of the correspondence course, it says repentant believers ordinarily must be baptized before they can receive the Holy Spirit in Acts 2 verse 38. But God made an exception in the case of Cornelius and his group. Since they were the first Gentiles of the New Testament era to be called by God and converted, God therefore gave him his Spirit before baptism as a special sign to Peter and the other apostles, proving that he had also opened the way of salvation to the Gentiles. Now, I see no problem with that, none whatsoever. But the question was this. It says Cornelius and his family were the first Gentiles called. But what about those in Samaria in Acts 8? Acts 8. That comes before Acts 10. And Acts 8, who went to Samaritans, and if you remember, Simon Magus was there. And in the tape we're going to hear today, some reference will be given to Simon Magus in this event. Now, why is that, therefore, not, almost discounted when you come to Acts 10 and this special vision was given to Peter, and the fact is that Cornelius was taken as the first Gentile? And I thought it was an interesting question. In fact, such an interesting question, I didn't have an answer for it. Not initially. And I prayed about it and studied into it a little bit. And then the penny just suddenly dropped as to what was going on. Now, what I'd like to do is to answer that question, basically, today. And to start off with, I'd like to go over to John chapter 4. Because in John chapter 4, we find an account here where Christ is dealing with Samaritans. So it's not as if Christ himself hadn't dealt with the Samaritan people in Samaria, and people were believed on him as well within Samaria. And it's an interesting account that is given here, and is certainly within Scripture you don't get accounts like this without due reason for them. But here in John chapter 4, it says in verse 5, it says, "Then he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus therefore being weary with his journey sat there thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour." So it was about midday, the sun was hot, and he sat down on the well. Now the well is in a valley between two mountains, hills or whatever you want to call them, but in their terminology would be mountains. And one would be Mount Ebal, which is the blessing, mountain of blessing, and one mountain of cursing. And one is Mount Gerizim, which is the mountain of blessing. And there came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and he said to her, "Give me a drink," for the disciples had gone away to the city to buy food. And then he said, the woman of Samaria to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." There was hostility between the Jews and the Samaritans. And it goes all the way back to the book of Kings, where you find the account that when the Assyrians actually took the northern tribes captive, they brought in people from Babylon and from various other areas, and they settled in the land. So they were Gentiles that were actually put in the land. But remember, that was 700 years before this event. It was 721 BC when the Assyrians came into the land and took Israel captive. So 700 years has actually gone by since that event. But the Jews still, even to that day, will have nothing to do with the Samaritans. And even to this day, they look upon the Samaritan religion as heresy, total heresy. And Jesus answered and said to him, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that said to you, 'Give me to drink,' then you would have asked him of him, and he would have given him you living waters." And the woman said to her, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, so the well is deep, so how are you going to get these living waters that you're talking about? Are you greater?" Now I want you to notice what she says. "Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" So she is actually referring back to Jacob as her father. Was she a Jew? Was she an Israelite? Well, no, she wasn't. She was a Gentile. She was a Samaritan. But there's a bit more going on there. And there's a reason. The reason for the bit more going on there is the reason why Cornelius was a special case, whereas the Samaritans were not as much of a special case, though they were a special case because, remember, that Peter and John came up to Samaria to lay hands on them. And if we notice down in verse 20, it says, "Our fathers," notice, "our fathers worshipped in this mountain being Gerizim, and there was actually a ruined temple that Christ would have been able to see in this mountain at that particular time, which was ruined by the Romans in the time of the Maccabees. But they worshipped on this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Now, if we leave a marker in there, or put a finger in there, or something like that, and turn back, if you would, with me, to Nehemiah chapter 13. Nehemiah chapter 13. Because this contention between the Samaritans and the Jews goes back a great deal of time. It goes all the way back into the time when they were removed, first of all, from Babylon into that area. But also, it goes back here into Nehemiah. Notice in here in Nehemiah chapter 13, and in verse 28, now Eliashib was the high priest at that particular time, and in verse 7 it says, "And I came to Jerusalem and understood the evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah, in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God." So there's some link between the people in Samaria and, or people of the land, and Eliashib. And that link was quite intense in that sense, because it says here in verse 28, it says, "And one of the sons of Jehoiada, the son of Eliashib, the high priest, was son-in-law to Sanballat the Horonite, and therefore I chased him from me." Now, Sanballat the Horonite was a Samaritan. And the interesting point is that when you go to the Jewish Encyclopedia and you look up the incident in the Jewish Encyclopedia, this incident that's being talked about here, about Eliashib and Sanballat and the incident of the son-in-law. The son-in-law's name, Josephus, actually mentions, Josephus describes the fact in greater length. And it says Manasseh, which is the son-in-law, the grandson of Eliashib, went to Sanballat, which was his father-in-law, and declared to him that in spite of his love for his wife, he gave the preference to the priesthood. Whereupon Sanballat promised him that if he would retain his wife, he would obtain from him, from the king, the dignity of a high priest. So he was offering him a high priesthood, but it wasn't the high priesthood down at Jerusalem. He further promised that he would build, with the king's approval, a temple upon Mount Gerizim, where Manasseh should officiate as high priest. Now, Mount Gerizim was a mountain of blessing, remember, going all the way back to Deuteronomy. And Manasseh accordingly remained with his father-in-law and became the high priest in the Samaritan temple on Mount Gerizim. Now, Manasseh was a full-blown Levite. In fact, more than that, he was a son of Aaron. He would have been high priest after his father, or could have been high priest after his father. So you're looking at, therefore, certainly the people who the Jews would count as Jews being in that area and marrying into the area as well. And remember, the contention was between both Ezra and Nehemiah was with the people that married with the people on outside. So they were marrying into the Samaritans, and the Samaritans were actually becoming polluted from being totally Gentile. They were actually becoming more Jewish. There were more Jews who would be actually marrying into that area, or the people in this area. Now, if we go back to John chapter 4 again, and understand that our fathers, it says in verse 20, worshipped in this mountain, that's Gerizim, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to be worshipping. And there was the contention. The contention was between the temple in Gerizim and the temple in Jerusalem. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what," because they used to mix their pagan religion with the truth, with the scriptures. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Now, what had to happen was when Manasseh had actually given this job by his father-in-law and became the high priest in the Samaritan temple, he couldn't take all the scriptures from the that were there with the temple at the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, because that would clearly label Jerusalem as a center as to where the temple had to be. You know, you just have to look through the scriptures and see that that is the case. But what he could do was take the law, just the law, and use just the law. And this was why there's this contention between the two areas. And what in fact he did was he took the law, and if you go down to the Samaritan synagogue to this day, you'll find the law being extolled. But that's all they have, and it's a corrupted law that they have. And they also, they keep many of the laws within the law as well. If you are going to go down to the Samaritan household, they will keep the Sabbath. They will not light a fire on the Sabbath. They will not eat any unclean meats. They will not mix milk and meat together. They're very, very similar to the Jews in many ways. But there's all kinds of other stuff that's been mixed in as well. So they're looked upon as heretics. They're not looked upon as just outright Gentiles. Now, if we go back to Acts now, and go and have a look at Acts 10, which is where the situation with Cornelius actually occurred, there's one very interesting thing that comes out of the dialogue. And that is, if you look in Acts 10, where it says, verse 44, when Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Spirit fell on them which heard the word. Now, these were Gentiles. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. Notice, they were absolutely astonished. As many as came with Peter, because that on Gentiles also they poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God, and then answered Peter and said, can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized, that have received the Holy Spirit as well as we, or just like we did, in the same way that we did? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and then he prayed them to tarry. They prayed him to tarry certain days. Now notice what he then goes, without a chapter break, he goes straight into the next part. And the apostles and the brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, you went in to men uncircumcised, and you did eat with them. You see, the Samaritans accepted most of what was in the law in the first five books of the Bible. That includes circumcision. They are circumcised. So this is why they are looked upon as heretics. They're not looked upon as uncircumcised Gentiles. And this is why here, when you look at this particular instance here, where Peter had to go to Cornelius. Cornelius was a Roman. Nothing to do with the Jewish way of life at all, except that he started to understand and started to worship the God of Israel, and also accepting Jesus Christ as his personal Saviour and repenting towards the laws of God. And this, therefore, was the reason that you find that the Holy Spirit was given to them. And it had to be indicated by God himself that the Holy Spirit was given before they were actually baptized. But the key point is that regardless of any other points, they were looked upon, the Samaritans were looked upon, not as pure outright Gentiles. They're looked upon more as half-breed Jews. They're half-breed Jewish heretics. And they actually kept the law in that sense. And they were not uncircumcised Gentiles.